Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4, and then also find Colossians, chapter 3. And we'll be looking at several scriptures tonight, and so be prepared to turn. Keep your Bibles handy. Ephesians, chapter 4. I want to teach tonight and preach on cultivating a forgiving spirit. And I'll talk to you about this. Tonight's just the introduction. We'll get into some other, the main message in the next couple of Sunday nights. But I want to talk to you about how to cultivate a forgiving spirit and to be ready to forgive those who trespass or offend you. And I think really, I've said it before, but I really believe that one of the underlying problems in a lot of relationships, whether it be the home or school or at church, is bitterness. People don't deal with bitterness. And we're looking at a generation right now of some very angry and very bitter people. Rebels, really. From not yet learned to submit to authority, and that's a whole different subject, but an unforgiving spirit really is detrimental to a believer, to an individual, but especially to a believer. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read to you here, starting verse number 17 down to verse number 31. And this talks about the new creature in Christ and the new man in Christ Jesus. Verse number 17 says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." There's that mind again, that battle of the mind. And we're not to walk as the unsaved man does. And so God does care about your, not just about your heart, but about your works, about your walk. This idea, well, I can be saved, live my life as I please, is not scriptural. And by the way, don't be afraid when somebody calls you a legalist for having standards. That just reveals their liberalism and their flesh. And verse number 18 says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And we talked about a little bit that this morning and last Sunday morning. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Here's our text tonight. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Father, tonight we ask that you bless now the message tonight, be the preaching of your word. God and direct, Father, have your will in your way, we pray in your name. Amen. Hold your place in Ephesians. Come to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Let's read that tonight as well as we get started. Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at verse number 12. We find a similar passage of scripture as Paul talks to the church, writes to the church at Colossae. The Spirit of God deals with that church. Verse number 12 says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Again, I want to use these verses tonight to talk about having or cultivating a forgiving spirit in your life. There is a great need for forgiveness. And forgiveness is like a two-sided coin. On the one side, the person that requires forgiveness, those that have trespassed against us, must repent and ask for forgiveness. That's one side of the coin of forgiveness. But the other side of the coin is the person giving forgiveness must be ready and prepared to forgive. And so both tonight, we see both problems. We see people tonight who are not prepared to confess their sin, repent, and ask for forgiveness. They're proud and they're arrogant. They want to walk in the flesh and stay in the flesh and claim forgiveness and claim that God forgives all of our sins. Yes, He does. But God's forgiveness does not leave us in our sins. God's forgiveness declares, go and sin no more. But God also wants the person that's been trespassed against to be ready to forgive. So not only do we have the one side that wants to promote God's forgiveness without repentance or confession of sin, but we also have the other side that sometimes we're not ready to forgive. We hold a grudge. We live angry. We live bitter. We live hard-hearted. And by the way, both extremes are equally wrong. And so I want to talk tonight. Listen, so tonight what I want to focus on is this next couple of Sunday nights, how to cultivate forgiveness in my life. So that I know the first thing people would say, well, what about the offender? Can you just put that aside for a few Sunday nights? Let's think about our side, those who've been trespassed against, and how I can be ready to forgive. You can't control the offender. You can't control them. And by the way, can I say this to you? A lot of times the offender could care less what you think anyway. And while we're living a life of anger and bitterness and frustration and misery, they're about their merry way having their own life and care nothing less about what you think, what God thinks. They're stubborn, they're angry, they're fleshly, and they can live their life if they want to. But you don't have to live a life of misery and live a life backslidden and not right with God because somehow you've been offended or trespassed against. So we'll talk about that this evening. And so we need to have a spirit of forgiveness rather than a spirit of self-righteousness, anger, and bitterness. You can be an uncompromising Christian that stands steadfast on the Word and still have a forgiving spirit that's ready to forgive. Restoration, reconciliation, should be the aim of every spiritual Christian. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if any man take it in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider thyself, lest they also be tempted. We cannot proclaim how spiritual we are without a spirit of reconciliation and restoration. We can't proclaim how spiritual we are without having a spirit that's ready to forgive those who trespassed against us. Now, forgiveness is obviously a difficult thing for people, including Christians. Jesus taught his disciples on the subject of forgiveness many times. Matthew 18, Christ taught about how to handle a trespassing brother and how many times to forgive him. And when he finished his conversation with the apostles, they said this, Lord, increase our faith. In Luke 17. Because it's obviously a difficult thing for Christians, for people, to forgive those who trespass against us. We find in the scriptures that in the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, Paul deals with the subject of forgiveness and being ready to forgive those who trespass against us. It is not human nature to forgive. Our nature is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, I'll get you back. And I'm not going to forget this. I'll not forgive and I won't forgive. And so, let me just say this. The need for forgiveness is because in all relationships, there will be offenses. I don't care what relationship that you have tonight, there are going to be offenses. There's offenses in the marriage. Now, of course, when you're dating or courting, you think, your mind is, this is going to be fantastic, nothing will ever bother me, I'll never get mad at my husband, I'll never be mad at my wife, we are going to live on love. But love can be offended. Amen? It doesn't take long after marriage to realize, wait a minute, there's more to this guy than I realized. And he can be offensive. And it don't take long before you realize, well, she, as sweet as she was in the pew, now at the house, she can be a little bit offensive. And there's offenses in marriage. There's offense with families. Your children will offend you. Sometimes young people say dumb things to their parents. Not only dumb things, but I've heard some young people say some pretty cruel things to their parents. And parents can offend their children. You're going to be offended at work. I never have had a job where I'm not sometime in the job come home offended or upset. You're going to be offended at church. There's no way around it. There's just imperfect people. Now, I wish that people would treat everything like they treat church. You know, but can I say this? That God never tells you to leave church because you're offended. So in the scripture, God says, hey, if you've been offended at the church house, leave it. Why don't you leave your job then? I'll tell you why. Because money's more important to most people. And feeding their fat belly is more important to most people than being right with God. That's why people just leave a church house willy-nilly. I'm mad. I'm leaving. You never find anywhere in the Bible that says when you get mad, leave the house of God. In fact, I'm amazed, you know, you read about the church at Corinth, how wicked it was. I mean, the church at Corinth had some problems, did it not? Not one time did Paul say in the scriptures, leave the place. He said, get right. And I think that most Christians leaving churches today are not right with God when they leave. Not right at all. And you can get mad about that. You can say, I don't agree. It doesn't matter what you think. But I don't find it in the Bible where you can get offended to leave your marriage, to break up with your parents, or to leave the house of God. I don't find that. We're to get right. And by the way, Christians who are spiritual have a spirit of reconciliation and restoration. If you don't want to get things right, then don't tell me how spiritual you are. I'm not interested in hearing it. That was good. That was fun. So offenses will happen. Matthew 18, Jesus Christ dealt with specifically what to do when a brother trespasses against you. Now, unforgiveness imprisons the offended. Why do we need forgiveness? Because unforgiveness imprisons the offended. Look with me at Hebrews chapter number 12. And by the way, this is all tonight introduction. We'll get to some of the meatier stuff and applicational stuff here in a couple Sundays. Hebrews 12, verse 15. I want you to see the scripture here. Many of you know this verse, and I use it quite often in counseling because bitterness is a problem in people's lives. Hebrews 12, 15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many, not just a few, but many, be defiled. So there's a great need for forgiveness because unforgiveness imprisons and troubles the offended. You see, God says that we're not to fail the grace of God. God's grace never fails. But the believer can fail the grace of God. We can not appropriate, listen, His grace is sufficient, but unless you appropriate to your life and to your situation, you can fail the grace of God. And so to live offended is to fail the grace of God. I didn't say to be offended, I said to live offended. Sometimes we can't help, but offenses will come. We read that in the book of James 3:2. Offenses will come. It's just part of human life. So to be offended is not necessarily wrong, but to live offended is to fail the grace of God. You can leave the house of God, you can leave church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and say, well, I'm bothered by what was said or what was done. That's probably there's not one of us that can say, I never have done that. We've all probably left the house of God. Like, why did the preacher say that? Why is he preaching at me? And why did the deacon didn't shake my hand? And why don't I ever get called upon? And why? And on. And so it's somewhat natural of our human nature to leave the house or to leave the marriage or leave work upset and offended. But to live offended is contrary to Scripture. And so we need to be practical. We have a spirit of forgiveness. To live holding grudges, grieving over past offenses, is to fail the grace of God. You know, some folks just live in the past, grieving over past offenses that happened years ago. I've dealt with husbands and wives who come in the office and mad at each other, and they've been mad for so long they have no idea what even started it. Where did this all begin? I don't know. Or they go back to years. I've had folks go all the way back to their engagement time and say, well, I'm mad because he did this or she did that. Well, when that happened 15 years ago. Now you tell me, well, that's scriptural or spiritual. And so we fail the grace of God. And unforgiveness results in bitterness. Thereby, the Christian is troubled. And God said, listen, be diligent to look to yourselves and to watch your heart and to watch your spirit, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. Look with me at, hold your place in Hebrews. I'm going to come back to that. But let's turn to your left to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Here, Paul speaks about his thorn in the flesh, but he gives us a good principle here. Let's pick up reading verse number 9. Hebrews, or 2 Corinthians 12, 9 says, and he said unto me, as Paul besought the Lord three times to remove his thorn in the flesh, and all three times God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Do you believe that tonight? God's grace is sufficient? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, I'm stronger when I'm weaker. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, watch it now, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Am I become a fool and glorying? Yet you have compelled me, for I ought to have commended of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. We find here that Paul said, he said, listen, I'm going to glory, I'm going to take pleasure, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be satisfied in infirmities. He said, well, that's preacher, I can do that. When I'm sick or when I'm weak, I can be happy in the Lord. But what about in reproaches? What about in persecutions? What about in distresses? Paul said, I'm going to glorify God in that. I'm going to be pleased in that, because when I'm weak, when I'm struggling, that's when I can be strong. That's when the power of God rests upon me. And so unforgiveness and bitterness denies the sufficiency of grace of God. When I choose to be unforgiving, And neglect having a forgiving spirit and hold the grudge and let bitterness creep up in me and trouble me, what I'm saying is God's grace is not sufficient for me. It may be for you, but it's not for me. So we deny the grace of God in our life. We squelch it. We fail the grace of God. Then I want you to see back in Hebrews 12:15 that unforgiveness, that just troubles the offended, but it troubles everyone involved in the relationship. Verse number 15 says, lest there any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, when you're troubled, it's not just I'm depressed or I'm discouraged, but a person that's bitter and troubled is an angry person, a resentful person, a malicious person. Listen, I've never seen anyone bitter who has encouraged anyone else or been helped anybody else. Bitterness does not improve you. It troubles you, and thereby many around you are defiled. Many divorces tonight are not because of adultery, they're because of bitterness and unforgiveness. That's where it starts there. Many children tonight are rebelling against their parents because of bitterness in their heart. And it's troubled them, but defiled their relationship with their parents. And many Christians today that have left the house of God don't have a leg to stand on. The church is not the blame. The pastor is not the blame. The deacon is not the blame. Now, there might have been trouble, but the reason they've left the house of God and backslid and walk in the flesh is because they've allowed bitterness to spring up in them and trouble them, and thereby defile all those around them. Now the church is a bad church. There's nothing good to say about it. Though the church has helped them and loved them and in some cases given some folks thousands of dollars to pay their bills and to encourage them and be a blessing to them, now we're bad people. The wife that once was loved, greatly admired and needed, now she's the bad woman. What's happened? You see, that man that you once loved and you said, well, he's my answer to prayer. He's my hero. He's God's answer to my life. Now the guy's a jerk. What happened? What happened? Bitterness sprang up and troubled you. Now it's defiled those around you. And by the way, don't say, well, I can be bitter and still be kind. No, because bitterness knows no friend. And you will lash out and hurt anybody around you and even those you profess to love. And by the way, many times it's those that are innocent trying to help you that you hurt in the process. So bitterness will cloud your mind and trouble you and defile your relationships. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. So, yeah, don't get offended. That's very easy to forgive. So number one is we see the need for forgiveness. Number two is this. What is forgiveness then? What is forgiveness? Forgiveness means there is offender and an offended. Well, they are persistent. The NSA, turn your phone back on. Forgiveness, it means there's an offender and an offended. Forgiveness is the act of forgiving, according to the dictionary, the pardon of the offender, by which he is considered and treated as not guilty. It doesn't say the offender is not guilty, but he's treated as not guilty. The pardon or remission of an offense or crime, as the forgiveness of sin or injuries. It's the disposition to pardon. It means willingness to forgive. It's the remission of debt, a fine, or penalty. See, forgiveness removes the debt and declares the offender or the convicted as no longer being guilty. It doesn't say they didn't commit the crime. It's no longer being guilty. Forgiveness must be granted by the offended, not earned by the offender. Now here's us, one of our problems, is we want the offender to earn forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. You see, it must be granted or given by the offended, not earned by the offender. If we're going to forgive as Christ forgave, it's got to be given. How did you earn God's forgiveness? You didn't. It was given. It was an act of grace and mercy. Forgiveness means I can no longer consider or treat the offender as guilty. The debt or offense has been pardoned. There is reconciliation. Now, let me say this. There are times when the offender forfeits some privileges and positions. God's not saying, listen, the offender now can come right back and do everything that they used to do. Sometimes they forfeit privileges and positions and there's consequences, but they're treated as though not being guilty any longer. There's reconciliation between the two. And so that is forgiveness. Number three is this. I want you to notice we need the command for forgiveness. You know, Christians today, we really don't have the option. If we're going to be spiritual, we must have a spirit of forgiveness. There's a command to forgive. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, people think, well, preacher, you're preaching to the choir tonight. We're all here on a Sunday night, so we must be spiritual. Isn't that the case? I'll tell you something. Been listening long enough. I'm flesh and blood enough to know that forgiveness is a real issue in people's life. I don't care if they sing in the choir, preach behind the pulpit, play the piano. I don't care what the position is. Forgiveness can be a real struggle for people. But God commands us to forgive. Colossians 3:13. Now watch what it says. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave you. My standard of forgiveness is not the other individual, not the offender. I'm not so much worried about their spirit as I'm worried about my spirit. I'm not worried about them being Christ-like, I'm worried about me being Christ-like. What did Christ call me to do? What is my command? What is my responsibility as a believer? So listen, if any man have a quarrel, forgive. You see, the forgiveness of Christ puts us in the right standing and it has covered our transgressions. To forgive us, Christ forgave. And it gave us the right standing and it covered our transgressions. Look back at Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 13. Look what God's forgiveness, Christ's forgiveness has done for us. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So because of Christ's forgiveness, I have been restored. I have a new birth. I have been delivered from darkness. I have been translated into his kingdom. I have redemption of my sins. He's covered my sins. He's forgiven my sins. That's what he's done for me. And I'm to forgive as Christ forgave. It's a command. We are commanded to forgive others as Christ forgave. We're commanded to forgive others as God forgave. Look back at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 32. And be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I'm to forgive as Christ forgave. Did not he go to the cross? And upon the cross, as they were pounding the nails into his hands, into his feet, and mocking him and beating him with cruelty, did not he say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? We're to forgive as God forgave. God forgave us for Christ's sake. God has forgiven us and restored us. And by the way, now God began the work of forgiveness before we asked for forgiveness. And that's what tonight I want you to see. This idea, well, preacher, when they come and repent and say they're sorry and confess their sin, I'll forgive them then, but until then I'm going to be mad and angry and hold a grudge. Can I say this? Most likely when they come and ask you for forgiveness, you won't forgive them. If you're not ready to forgive, as Christ forgave, though they would crawl across broken glass and torture themselves with all kinds of instruments, you would not forgive. If you live in anger, listen, I understand being disappointed. I understand sometimes looking at somebody who's just have done crazy things and wonder, where in the world did they get that from? I understand being hurt. I understand as a man, as a father, as a pastor, there are times when people do things that hurt you to the very core of your heart. I get that. I'm not saying don't be hurt. What I'm saying tonight is we must be ready to forgive. And Christ began his work of forgiveness before we asked for forgiveness. God said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He began his work of forgiveness before we ask for forgiveness. If you have been forgiven by God, we are to forgive others. For the believer to hold a grudge and refuse forgiveness is to exalt himself over God. Think about that for a moment. For me to live my life in anger with a grudge, I'll not forgive that person. It's for me to exalt myself over God. If God can forgive my brother, who am I not to forgive the same brother? Am I greater than God? Is my offense smaller than my brother's offense? Am I more offended than God's offended? Have not I in my own life with my own nature, my own sin, offended a holy God more than I've been offended? Have not I trespassed against God more than anybody's ever trespassed against me? Then how can I say I'll not forgive and I'm not ready to forgive? Now again tonight, I'm not just saying that there are times, listen, when I offend God, when I sin against God, can I say this tonight that my relationship has not been broken? I'm still God's son. I'm still his child. But my fellowship has been broken with God. And so I'm not saying that we should, when we're offended or trespassed against it, we should carry on as if nothing ever happened. With our heads in the sand, thinking, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's fine. No, God tells us we need to deal with it. So sometimes the fellowship may be broken. I'm not saying that we should go on as nothing ever happened. What I'm saying tonight is this, that there should be in our hearts a spirit of forgiveness. And so God commands us to forgive. Number four is this tonight. I want you to see this lastly is this, the willingness to forgive. Being willing to forgive. Look at me at Psalms 86. Psalms 86. I'm preaching this tonight because I've oftentimes, again, I'm not excusing the offender that will not confess, that will not repent. Oftentimes that takes place if the fellowship is still broken and things aren't like they ought to be. There's no reconciliation and restoration. But I'm saying tonight is this, that we as believers don't have the right. Listen, if we live our life in anger and bitterness and holding grudges, God can't, we're useless to God. God can't use you anywhere. Because in that anger and that bitterness, you're going to hurt and defile. It's like leaven that you put in, and leaven leavens the entire lump. And so when we are living our life in anger and bitterness and wrath, we're going to impact and defile all those around us. And God can't use that. And so though I'm hurt and though I might be offended, I must have a spirit that's ready to forgive. Spirit of forgiveness about me. Look at Psalms 86, verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Here we see the great example of forgiveness. And the Bible says that God is good. Are not we called as Christians to be good? Are not wives called upon to be good? Are not husbands and believers called upon to be good? And so the psalmist here, he says, listen, Lord, you are good. You're a great God. You're a good God. And here's what's so good about you, that you're ready to forgive. Ready to forgive. David did not say when he confessed his sin before God, he didn't say, God, save me again. He said, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you. They wasn't asking to be God's son again. He was asking, Lord, restore our fellowship once again. And God, though David sinned greatly against God and gave the heathen opportunity to blaspheme God and to despise God, he was ready to forgive at David's confession. Didn't 1 John 1:9 say that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness? You see, God is ready to forgive. He's prepared. He's prepared. He's ready to forgive those who call upon him. And so Christ is ready to forgive. The debt has been paid and our salvation is offered to all those. God is ready to forgive. He sent his son and gave his son for our redemption. And he's ready to hear our prayers and to hear our confession and to forgive our sins. And by the way, don't let the fleshly person, the carnal person, convince you that somehow that you are wrong for standing steadfast upon God's word and saying, this is what sin is. Even though that David had sinned against God, there was a prophet named Nathanael that said, David, thou art the man. You have sinned. We see tonight that God is ready to forgive. So to forgive as Christ forgave, I must be ready to forgive. To forgive as God forgives, I must be ready to forgive. To sort of say, I'm not going to forgive them until they repent and apologize, means that I'm probably not going to forgive them at all. Let me ask a question tonight. If you're not ready to forgive, where does all the anger go? What do you do with your anger? What do you do with your frustration? What do you do with your offense when you're not ready to forgive? You see, I can say, you know what I can say when I'm offended, trespassed against? I am going to determine right now to forgive that brother, that sister. And though the fellowship may be broken, in my heart, all is well. I'm ready to forgive. So the natural man is not a man of forgiveness. That's why the spirit of forgiveness must be cultivated. It must be cultivated in our life. As a crop or as a piece of wheat in the ground or corn of wheat in the ground, it must be cultivated and grown. It is not the natural man's nature to forgive. We see that tonight in Ephesians, back in Ephesians. We see that tonight in our text. Chapter 4, it says this, verse number 17. It says, this I say therefore, testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You see that unsaved man, they walk in the vanity, the pride, the arrogance in the other mind. They're self-righteous. I'm right, they say. I'm the most important in my life. It's all about me. Don't judge me and don't point out my sin. And they walk in the identity of their own mind. And by the way, those that are crying for forgiveness are usually the last to forgive. Those that want to, well, you know, God forgave me of all my sin, and they stay in their sin, they're the last to forgive anybody else around them. May I also say tonight, once again, that God's forgiveness declares, go and sin no more, not to stay in your sin and live in the flesh. And so we find that naturally, it's not our nature to forgive it. Forgiveness must be cultivated. The unbeliever is a spirit that is past feeling, they're selfish. Now, the Holy Spirit of God working in the believer's life cultivates a forgiving spirit. Psalm 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, then you put on the new man, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. So the Spirit of God working in the believer cultivates a spirit. It's not our nature to be ready to forgive. So what do? We rely on the Spirit of God to cultivate that in our life. Now, I know that we all have different personalities, and some folks are a little more easygoing than others. But your personality should not override the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God in our life cultivates that forgiving spirit. And I'll talk about that a little more as we go along. See, I'm renewed on the inside. My heart and my mind and my spirit are changed. I'm also renewed on the outside. If you read an entire chapter, then my tongue is different. My temperament is different. My work ethic is different. My attitude toward others are different. Everything that we do for Christ is because of Christ and for Christ. The forgiving spirit results in the believer having peace, living in the peace of God. Look back with me at Colossians chapter number 3. Verse number 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When I put on Christ and I live in forgiveness, I'm allowing the Spirit of God to bring peace in my life. The forgiving spirit results in the peace of God, the believer living in the peace of God. Let me tell you something. You look at a person that's not have a forgiving spirit, what peace do they have? They have no peace. And by the way, they offer no peace. The forgiving spirit enables me to edify others. Verse number 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so, when I have a forgiving spirit, it enables me to edify others. I want to say that tonight, last in conclusion, as we look at the need of forgiveness and be willing to forgive. And I'm going to preach next Sunday night on how to have that willing spirit to forgive, how to cultivate that in your life through the Spirit of God. But forgiveness allows the offended to be the greater person. Look at Psalms 130. Look at this verse. Psalms 130. Forgiveness allows the offended to be the greater person. Look at Psalms 130, verse number 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If God kept record and didn't forgive, who could stand before God? Not one of us. I don't care what background you came from, how good your life is right now, how moral you think you are. If God would mark iniquities, who shall stand? Verse number 4 says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Why do believers fear a holy God? So, well, because he's righteous, because of his judgment. Yeah, that's true. But you see, judgment without mercy, truth without mercy, breeds resentment. And tonight, if there was no forgiveness, there come a place in your life where you resent God. Because you can never please him, have peace with him. But why do we fear God? Knowing that God could consume us in a moment, but because of his forgiveness, he doesn't. You see, forgiveness allows God to be God. And forgiveness allows the Christian to be the greater person. You think, well, I'm going to retaliate. I'm going to hold out.
I'm going to be stubborn. I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to be the better person. No, you better dig two graves then. One for you and one for that person that you're angry against. You see, bitterness and anger never lets anyone win. But we have a forgiving spirit and quit marking iniquities. It allows the offended to be the better person. And we live and we fear God because of His forgiveness. We love and we fear God because of His forgiveness. Forgiveness also allows the offender, to be blessed. Psalm 32:1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Tonight, you know why we are blessed? Because we've been forgiven. If all God did for us was forgive us, never answering one more prayer, we'd still be blessed. Still be blessed. David said, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered." So we are blessed because we are forgiven. Our sin has been covered and washed away with the blood of Christ Jesus. It cost Christ everything to forgive us. He paid the price that he did not owe. And I received heaven that I did not deserve. And so if forgiveness allows the offender to be blessed. And by the way, I don't care tonight how offended you may get. The spiritual Christian says in his heart, my heart is, that person will be blessed. It would change our homes. It would change our work environment. It would change our church house if our heart was, you know what, I want my brother to be blessed. And that begins with, oftentimes, with the spirit of forgiveness. Now again, I understand. Don't come to me and say, preacher, what about if he doesn't ever repent? I understand that. I'm talking about that tonight. I'm not talking about the steps to that the offender of getting things right. I'm talking to Christians who are supposed to be spiritual that will say this, I am ready, willing to forgive. I'm not going to hang on to grudges and be bitter and angry and frustration. And that's, listen, I know the trespass is wicked and wrong, but it's the desire for revenge to hang on to grudges that kills relationships, that troubles you, that destroys marriages and families in our churches. Tonight our church is not suffering from lack of doctrine, from the wrong songs, the wrong music. We've seen some things this past year or two that we've suffered from and struggled with because of lack of both sides of the coin. Those that will say, I've done wrong. Confess your sin. Don't stay in their sin, but get right. And those that will say, I'm willing and ready to forgive. I'm going to let that offense go. And not say, well, when they come across broken glass and prove themselves, then I'll forgive them. No, they could hang the moon, you wouldn't forgive them. And what did Christ make us to do to get forgiveness? Just confess. Just confessing, he's ready to forgive. That's what I want to be. That's what I want a church to be, ready to forgive. Cultivating a spirit of forgiveness. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. And Lord, these are, I believe, some tough things, Father. Because it's in our nature, Father. I believe it's in the very nature for most of us to be fighters. Lord, to fight back when we feel offended, when we feel wronged. To declare, we live in a day and age that people declare their rights. And dig their heels in and live so stubbornly, which I believe that God forces us out of the will of God. We miss your blessings. We miss your using us, Father. We miss your power. We quench the Spirit of God when we live a life with bitterness and anger, frustration, and holding grudges. Help us, I pray, dear God, tonight, to focus upon our own spirit, our own heart, our own actions, and be like Christ, to be ready to forgive. Help us tonight, I pray in your name we ask. Let's end tonight as we stand together, piano to play an invitation song. Perhaps tonight, the Lord, in this introduction, this message about cultivating the forgiving spirit, Christ spoke to your heart tonight. You need to come, would you come? Have you been forgiven? Has Christ forgiven you tonight? If not, he's ready to forgive you. Would you come tonight and ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and trust in him and let him save you this evening? Tonight you come. Perhaps tonight you say, "Preacher, I think I'm a pretty forgiving guy." The Spirit of God tonight has pricked your heart, revealed to your heart some bitterness and some anger and some grudges. How is your spirit tonight when you think of that person? When that person's name comes up in your mind or in conversation? The person who offended you, trespassed against you? When you hear that person's name called or talked about, that old church member, that family member, that wife, that child, what's it do to your heart? What's it do to your spirit? You get angry? You get bitter? You lash out? Or is your heart broken? God restore them. God heal them. God bring them back. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Abilene. There's a difference tonight between having a forgiving spirit and being a compromiser. You can have a forgiving spirit and still tell the offender, that's a sin. Well, you can't, no, we don't have to judge them. The Bible already does. Well, you don't know, preacher, if I live in the flesh or the spirit. No, I don't. But the Bible does. Galatians 5 describes a person who lives in the flesh, one who lives in the spirit. So this idea, well, we got to forgive everybody of all their sins and just go on and compromise, that's not scriptural. A person that is trespassing or offending, you can still say, you know what, I'm ready to forgive, but that's a sin. You're living in sin, and that's not right. This idea that I can live in sin and claim God's forgiveness is not scriptural. Because when God forgave the woman taking adultery, he said to her, go and sin no more. The forgiveness of God has not put me more in the flesh. It delivers me from the flesh. This idea, people want to claim forgiveness and live in the flesh, live in adultery or live in fornication or live in a life of wickedness is contrary to scripture. But my focus tonight is not on how they're reacting to the Word of God, but how we as Christians are acting toward the Word of God. So you can be forgiving, but yet hold the line and say, thou art the man. You've sinned. But to live in bitterness and anger is detrimental to your spiritual health. Lord, bless tonight, I ask. Give us understanding tonight. Enlighten our wisdom, Father. May we apply your word, Father, correctly, with a fair balance, Father, and justly, Lord. This we ask tonight in your name. Amen.